Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Devin Leary.
This is Carolina Barlow.
We are here for another installment of Reality Romance Love is Blind Season 2. We are talking about episodes 5 and 6 today. And yes, I know it can feel like a blur. It's like, how long have they been in Mexico? How long were they in the pods? How long are they going to be in Chicago? Is it Chicago? We don't know.
Why is everyone in Chicago? We don't know that either, really.
We're here and we're ready to discuss. And the episode 5 does start with the aftermath of episode 4, which is Nick coming home from a completely innocent experience of going to a party and hanging out with people and finding someone whose passive aggression I could not relate to more. He comes home and he sits with Danielle and he starts telling her all the gossip and she's being like, yeah, oh, no, that makes sense. And I'm like, I relate so much. Like, she's like, I just want to get to the fight, but I have to listen to this. And she's waiting to bring it up. She's waiting for him to be like, so is everything okay? And that's when she's going to lay it in. I'm not sure what she was upset about, but it was something that she expressed about what she said. It was something that was going on in her head. Basically, it sounds like she had a panic attack. He left her and she had like some kind of stomach illness. He clarifies that he offered to stay with her and she said, no, that's fine. You should go. Again, could not relate more.
Trap, run.
She trapped him and then he went and he came back and she was clearly mad that he went and she had a panic attack in the closet and now is upset at him for that.
She actually said she locked herself in the closet and cried.
Yeah.
Which reminded me of a line from Daryl in The Office is talking to Kelly Kapoor and he says, you need to get in touch with your own crazy side.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think of Danielle. I was like, she needs to get in touch with her own crazy side.
Totally. Totally. And, you know, again, I relate, but it just was that thing of like, I felt like just please don't do this because I've seen myself do this so many times. And it's like, everything's actually totally fine. Like, you're probably just tired and feel sick and you need to go to bed. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. As Bethany Frankel would say.
I love the way she says such red flags in such a casual way. Like one of the things she tells him after she has this blow up where she reveals she was watching everyone interact from the balcony and sort of a very in a too calm way where you're like, you do sound psychotic.
She's like,
right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
No, I watched it all. Yeah. I watched you go to the beach.
I mean, what else? She goes, what else was I going to do? Do you not have Netflix? Like, I mean, you're on Netflix. Do you not have access to it? She's like, what else was I going to do? I saw you walking towards the beach. And at one point he said, oh, I was talking to a woman about capitalism, which I'm like, okay, so good to know you're on our side of things. You think capitalism is wrong. And he's like, I was talking to a woman about capitalism. She goes, oh, yeah, I saw that.
I saw. I loved the next day when you can tell she sort of has a hangover from her own behavior, an yep. emotional hangover, as Devin
Strong
and I call
relate.
It.
Strong relate.
And she said, I'm scared that you think how I'm acting is how I'm going to act for the rest of my life.
Ah, I know. I could not relate more. I could not relate more.
I'm not me. Like, the way I am is not the way I am.
Yes, totally relate. Totally relate.
When you want to convince someone that, you're like, oh, no, I know what the way I seem because of the things I do. But I'm not that. I'm a person you haven't met yet who is casual and funny and cool.
I actually made a decision last night after our fight that, like, I am changing my entire way of being and my personality. And, like, no, I didn't do any of the things I said I was going to do this morning, like meditate or, like, think about my actions. But, like, I'm telling you right now, like, I am a completely different person.
I'm
and
not
if
me.
If you're not on board with that, like, I think you're judgmental, basically.
Totally.
And then 5 seconds later, I do the same exact behavior over again. I'm like, so who was the girl you talked to about capitalism again? Or like, so by the way, like, I saw that you follow that girl that you talked to about capitalism. And I'm just like, I know I have a new personality and I'm a completely different person. I would never do the things I did that night because, like, that's not me. But who is she? Where does she live? What's her address? And in what way can I get some chloroform by the end of the day? No, I'm kidding.
I love to. She says another very general, very, you know, crimson flag thing, which is she says, you know, my biggest downfall is the way I think about things. You're like, okay, that's a pretty big downfall.
She
my
also,
biggest downfall is my brain, probably, and how I process emotions.
But we want to say, like, we're not shitting on her. Like, we are her.
No, we are her. We see it.
We are currently in treatment for being her. And we just
exactly.
think that she also maybe needs to be in treatment. I did read that she is in therapy now. And, like, I really hope that's helping her. But, and again, it's not her fault. It's her mom's fault. And her mom is absolutely the villain. And her mom needs to be punished for the things that she's done. But she just needs treatment, as we all do. She also was like, at one point when Nick is just, like, simply trying to understand what has, like, transgressed, she said, like, I'm sure you would feel differently about things if you were the one locked in a closet, like, thinking about yes. things all night.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, you know what? No one had to be locked in the closet.
I know.
That wasn't something that anyone needed to be. No, I completely agree with Devin. It really is, for instance, something my therapist told me is you just have to keep some crazy to yourself. You know,
right.
you don't want to show your cards. No one needs to know all my thoughts. Your partner does not need to know every thought you have. In fact, I've not been shy about the fact that I used to have an eating disorder, and it's sort of just a thing that lives in my brain sometimes. And I remember talking to my therapist about years ago about, you know, I feel unattractive right now. I feel like I need to lose weight. I feel, you know, everything that anyone living in this culture feels. And she said, do not bring this up to your boyfriend at the time. And it's not because I have to pretend to be confident all the time, but it's I can't go to my boyfriend for solace every time I have a feeling. And I can't go to him as if he's like gasoline I need to fuel up
right.
and, you
right.
know, eradicate my fears. So I just have to process those on my own. And Danielle brings everything to the table, and she shows her cards, and some of those cards you just keep close to your chest.
I totally agree. And also, I think it's interesting because in this episode, I think is when it was discussed about, like, being an introvert, and people were talking about
yeah.
like how if you're an introvert, like, people being around people takes energy away from you as opposed to, like, giving you more energy. And if you're an extrovert, being around people gives you energy. And I think I'm an introvert, but it was like suddenly I was connecting some dots where it's like, even though I think I'm an introvert, I still want the people around me to validate me at all times, and it never works. Like, it's like being around you doesn't make me feel better, but make me feel better.
I honestly do. I understand Shane when he just tells Natalie to say something nice to him, because I've said that to so many people before.
Right.
I'm like, can you just say something cute to me about how much you like me?
Yeah. And you deserve that.
And I want it. And I ask for it. But Danielle's been teaching us a lot. And it really is holding up a mirror to our shadow selves. I want to talk about her family very quickly.
Okay. So this is in episode 6. They start meeting the families. And we meet Danielle's mom. immediately, I felt like this is now we are seeing the source of all wounds. First of all, she cannot get enough of the camera. She's like, I love this experiment. I do believe people can fall in love at first sight. I do believe this. She's like talking about sex to be edgy and like pretend like she's like the cool mom. Like she wants to be Amy Poehler in Mean Girls, but she's like a really bad knockoff version of it. And she talks about like, oh, I just like her whole vibe. This is the thing. Her whole vibe is like, I really hope Danielle finds someone. Not Danielle doesn't need anyone. And if she's with someone, they better be like the best person ever, which is what I think ideally a parent would feel. Instead, she's like, oh, hope this doesn't get messed up, because all I've ever wanted is for Danielle to find someone despite her weight issues and her insecurities. That's and all the that. Thing.
She definitely has, you know, white mom, fat shaming energy. And yeah, she and like the kind of white mom who puts her daughter into Weight Watchers at 16 or something. She says at one point, and you can tell you're like, the white wine is flowing in this house.
Yeah.
She says, I want someone who loves Danielle for who she is and not what she looks like.
Oh, my God.
You're like, I seriously am going to get emancipated.
I'm emancipating from her, and I've never even met her.
I
contacted my lawyer for emancipation just from watching the episode.
I do not want this woman in my life. My lawyer was like, I don't work for you. You actually don't have a lawyer.
You don't have a lawyer. Goodbye. Get out of bed. It's 4 p.m.
Nick meets her family. Nick seems like actually kind of like a catch. I'm not my type, but he has something about him I like work. Like Nick and Jarrett. Shane is a one night stand that you don't tell people about, but like Nick and Jarrett seem like guys that I would introduce to family
and
friends.
Sal, I think.
Oh my gosh, yes, Sal is really nice. Kyle is totally nice, but the fact that
stupid.
He would date a
missing piece.
Yeah, there's something up.
Missing piece.
Anyway, so the guys are nice. I would totally introduce them to my family. There doesn't seem anything weird there. And it's really Danielle's family when they ask them how often they have sex while they're just hanging out outside. And there's something awry with that, I think.
It's very awry. It's very confusing. There's also like a weird emphasis on like him needing to like go fishing with the men, which is like, oh, God. But by the way, he has a great attitude the whole time. He's showing up. He's being supportive. She is brewing a conflict in the back of her mind that she's going to bring up later. But Nick doesn't know that. He's just there. He's just present. He's being great. Everybody likes him. Meanwhile, we have in episode 5, Kyle and Shayna meet up in the real world, aka in Chicago, where Shayna flew to when she completely ghosted her own fiance in Mexico and left him there. And he didn't know if she was dead or alive. They meet up and he goes, oh, you're not wearing your ring. And she goes, you're being weird. Why are you being weird? You're being weird. His mom's engagement ring that he gave to you and then you ghosted him and left him in a different country and he didn't know if you were dead or alive and he's being weird by asking about the ring. I cannot.
It's just also, I just love this couple so much because I love that they're essentially, without talking about it explicitly, fighting over whether evolution happened or not.
That's the underlying message.
That's the underlying problem that, you know, that's the elephant in the room is whether God really made the earth in 7 days.
Whether God's our daddy.
And also just the weird, she's like, I know I'm supposed to be with Shane, but I guess like I'll try this.
Exactly. And she says, true love, time reveals all truth.
She also says, you always hear those stories of like Christians falling in love with atheists and staying together forever. I was like, is that in the Bible? Because I haven't seen any of those stories.
I know. Also, is that in the Bible? Is that what's in the back of the book? Like, I've never gotten that far. Also, Kyle says that someone like Shayna is rare and hard to find because she makes him feel like he doesn't have to be smart. He literally says that. Like, most women make him feel like he has to be smart, and it's a relief that she doesn't make him feel like he has to be smart. I just wish the roles were reversed. Like, I wish, like, he was, like, the Trump supporter, Christian, probably anti-vaxxer, and she was a logical, normal person, and he was like, I'm willing to learn about vaccination and critical race theory because of us dating. Instead, it's like he's like, I am willing to go back on everything I've learned to become an involved person just so I can have sex with this really hot girl.
Yeah.
And it's
I will
hell.
Protest masks in schools if that will bring us closer.
Exactly.
Naturally, given all of the green lights go ahead energy between this couple, they go meet Shayna's family.
Which is like when it cuts to there, like, it's like kind of like, it's like happens so quickly. Like suddenly she's like, yeah. So like, I just realized, you think they're breaking up at the coffee date and they don't break up. And then she's like, I just realized, like, in order for me to really know if I want to be married to Kyle, like, my parents have to meet him. And you're like, wait, this isn't happening, is it? They go to what can only be described as a forgotten warehouse of set decoration for Vanderpump Rules. It's a it's like haunted. It's like the Others with like the like fabric over the furniture meets Vanderpump Rules, because it's like the tackiest fabric, but it's like placed over all the furniture for some reason. Like black, literally, guys, black silk has been draped over the chairs as a stylistic choice. And I can't describe the horror of this home.
Shayna's mom looks like, I don't know if anyone here saw the M. Night movie called Old, but Shayna's mom looks like a 13-year-old makeup influencer who got aged rapidly, but yes, stayed in her same clothes.
Love.
She has caked on foundation. Her hair is bleach blonde. She has heavy eyeliner and she's wrapped in a kimono. And she has the audacity to judge a normal man who walks into her home with flowers. She's like, I cannot offer my blessing. Shayna's brother is extremely aggressive. You can tell that he's very excited about the cameras being there and he kind of wants to be like the big bro, but he does also give off the vibe of someone who wants to physically kill someone in their lifetime. He's like, so you like going outdoors? What do you like to do?
Do you like being an American?
He does say, do you like being an American? And then he says, do you like God? And Kyle being very, very nice this whole time and then saying calmly, no, I don't believe in God, is porn to me. Like, that's when I was like, okay, I do kind of like your energy.
I know. And also, by the way, like, at first he didn't understand what the brother said. He's like, the brother's like, do you believe in Christ our Savior? And it's like, oh my God, they're fucking Christ our Savior people.
Yeah,
like,
that
is a million times worse. But yeah, he immediately is like, no. And then at one point, the mom says, like, well, I just feel peace because, like, I know where all my kids are going to go
when they die.
Like, they're not going to go to hell. And he goes, oh, I kind of wonder if it's, like, anything besides the ground. And I was like, he's trying to start shit.
Love. Keep him.
And Shayna is, like, shitting herself into her, like, white, like, skin-tight high-rise jeans.
Then Shayna and Kyle meet up and she's basically like, we're not getting married. I mean, the parent meeting went so, like, you can tell that, I don't know, she probably...
But it's kind of sad because when they meet up afterwards, Kyle's like, so what did your parents ask? Like, what are they missing? Like, what don't they see that could possibly be wrong with me? Like, he kind of thought they were going to be like, oh, so Kyle's amazing. Like, is he hiding something? What's the catch? But she was like, no, they like despise you and they think you're going to hell and I can't marry you.
Yeah.
By the way, when they meet up for the breakup after that, after he went to the house, he saw the black satin on the furniture. And he heard them say, like, do you believe in Christ our Savior? Like, do you enjoy being American and riding dirt bikes? Like, he hears all that. He still, when they meet up, his first thing he says is, I want to move in together. So this is where it's like, it's on you, my friend. It's on you.
It is. But at the same time, it is right when he's like, okay, well, you should have told me sooner.
Right. But she kind of did tell him,
it was so clear.
She didn't tell him that she was also, like, professing her love to Shane and repeatedly said, like, she's meant to be with Shane, but she's settling for Kyle.
Yeah, she could have told him that. I mean, also, she could have told him when they just saw each other, because it was so clear in her face, like, no, you're not hot enough for me to be with an atheist, which I think she was holding out hope for.
Yeah.
I want true romance.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials... cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
I have to talk about Shane and Natalie right now, my favorite couple. Like I said last episode, we're kind of Team Shane, as weird as that is. And he talks about her their wedding that's going to be in 2 weeks. And he says, it's totally your day. And she says, well, it's your day, too. And then off of that, he says, OK, well, then really all I care about is that I want to wear a cape.
And then he wants like a special fountain. He's like, OK, so it's like a fountain, but it's old fashioned drinks. Like it's a fountain, but it's drinks. Like, but this is the thing. This is the thing. This is where I'm starting to relate to him. Also, like. She's like, so the place we differ is that like Shane really likes to have like food in bed and like watch TV in bed. I was like, couldn't relate more. And then they get in bed and he goes, so I really like to have a midnight snack sometimes. And she was like, wait, what? I'm like, okay, so he is me and you would hate me, I guess, Natalie.
Well, this is the thing. I did see you. Like, I saw you and Shane the moment that Shane said he spent $2,000 a month on ordering out food. And that's why he didn't have a 401k. And she said, well, we can't do that anymore. And the expression on his face is one of utter despair.
Terror.
He's looking down. It looks like he has just saw the inside of a black hole in the universe. Like
his eyes are like gaping open. He's like, what? I know. Also, like I have been working on like trying to understand how to be more responsible with my finances. I bought a book about it. I'm learning. But like, I really related when she was like, so I have this plan and like I have everything figured out and I'm putting saving and I'm investing. And he's like, so I don't really do any of that. And I know that's bad. And I was like, couldn't relate more. And he's like trying to defend it by being like, well, I just don't believe in 401ks. Like guaranteed, just like me. He just doesn't know what that is. He's like, I don't believe in that.
I felt the same thing. I was like, you know what? I don't know if I believe in it either because I have literally not sat down for 5 minutes to reflect on what that could be.
And what is that? And what is that? We don't know. Natalie, we're sorry, but we just don't know. And we are with Shane on this one.
We should have Natalie on the pod just to explain what a 401k is.
We actually have to have her on the pod because she's great. Also, we have to talk about that fight that happens after. So Nick meets Danielle's parents. I'm watching it. I'm thinking, like, despite how horrific her mom is, like, he actually did a great job and she must be so happy. But wrong again.
Her
She's
downfall
upset.
Is her thoughts.
Her downfall continues to be her thoughts. They get in a fight because she's upset because when he got in the car after they left her parents' house, he didn't seem like just purely happy and excited. He was distracted because his friend texted him something upsetting. So this is where she would be triggered by me beyond because like immediately leaving, meeting a significant other's parents, like in no world am I not like as soon as I get in the car, like sigh of relief, so stressful. Even if I love them, it's just stressful. And it's like you feel like you have to impress them and it's complicated, especially for the first time. Like, I cannot imagine just getting in the car and being like, what a great fucking day. Everything's golden over here. Like, I guess that's what she was expecting. And it's just this thing where, like, because she wasn't willing to see that, she wasn't willing to pause and see that actually nothing was wrong. And so then as a result, it escalated to the point where they were saying things they regretted. Like, he said that, like, she expected the whole world to revolve around her. And she said, like, she's dated people with narcissistic personality before. It's like, this is going downhill. At one point, she said something that I relate to so much where she goes, I was happy for one fucking day. And then this happens, like, that self-pity thing of like, wow, I cannot believe I actually thought I could be happy for once. And it's like, no, there's been a lot of times that I've been happy. Like, it's really not like that. But that's her reaction. And Nick is just kind of like, I just don't know what to tell you. Like, nothing happened. Actually, he did say that. He really apologized. He was like, I'm really sorry for like getting distracted by like my friend's text messages when we got in the car.
It's so crazy. I am glad she's in therapy.
I'm rooting for her. I'm rooting for him. But that was tough to watch because I related to it so much.
Jarrett and Ayana are really cute and I love them in his apartment. And it's again, she's a fisher. She fishes for information and goes through his things, she was like, oh, what is this that has your initials on it? Who gave you that? Which I have done almost verbatim at a guy's place. Been like, oh, this is so funny. This is, seems like a very expensive face cream. Who do you think it belongs to? And he's like, my ex. And
yeah,
I mean, this is what I'll say too, which I think is, it was a lesson for me watching. At one point she very, like, it's heartbreaking. She was like, well, why did you pick me after Mallory turned you down? Like, and she basically says, why do you choose me after Mallory? And she says, you know, he probably wants Mallory because she's more well-established. And I thought that was so interesting because it's like, oh, you have an insecurity about something. So you make up, you project that onto, we have no idea why he picks Mallory first.
Right.
But I feel it gave me some insight into how I compare myself to others. And then I'll think like, oh, and he likes her more because of X, Y, and Z, whatever my insecurity is. And you look at Jarrett and it's like, no, he actually seems really happy with Ayana. And, but that is also a roadblock in so many relationships. Like, when I was in college, a guy broke up with me because I was so insecure around his ex. And you think like, people don't know what to answer that stuff with. But you make up your own rules for why things didn't work out or why guys don't like you. You know, most of that is just your own bullshit.
Right. Yeah, no, I get it. And I related to that a lot, too. And it's kind of how I related to Danielle also, where it's like she keeps saying, like, I feel like you don't know all my flaws yet. Like, I'm nervous when you know all my flaws, you'll leave. Like, it's just not like it. You're so not in control when you choose to like be vulnerable with someone and like fall in love with them.
Yeah.
And you're not in control because there is the risk that the person could leave. And sometimes that's so terrifying that you're just grasping and you're just like waiting for the reason. And then the smallest thing happens, like, oh, he seems kind of upset when he gets in the car. Everything's gone. All or nothing. Everything's destroyed. And it kind of seems like Ayana was similarly put in a position where it was like, am I going to choose to let the narrative and the fear prevent me from experiencing the good of this?
I think it also goes back to what we were saying. Like, I don't need to bring up every single thought. I don't need to bring up every single fear. In fact, usually when I bring fears to partners, they can do nothing except help it grow. Like,
yeah.
I have to go to you with fears. I have to go to friends and family with stuff. And even then, I'm learning that I don't have to go to everyone with every feeling I have. I can just let them go. Like, oh, I'm scared this happens. Who cares? Like, I'm sorry, but I kind of mean that. Like,
yeah.
Unless it's something serious that I feel like I'm going to need to talk to someone or else I'm going to be unable to process it and it's going to haunt me, you know, I'll, of course, reach out about it. But sometimes the answer is stop bringing it up.
Yeah.
And the truth will come out regardless. So you don't have to worry about investigating.
Yeah.
I want truth.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We should talk about Deep D and Shake, because Shake is really, you know, competing with Shayna over a villain of the season.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he was even granted the grace to meet her family is so upsetting.
I love her family so much.
The amount of times Deep D's mom has made me cry is beyond. And if I have to see him like widen his eyes at her like one more time, when she's just existing as this wonderful, amazing person who could be like the best partner anyone could ask for, I will throw my laptop against the wall. And I haven't watched the reunion yet, and I'm sure there's going to be some holes in the plaster after I watch it. But yeah, it's like he clearly just was not ready for this experience at all. He tried to cheat the system by asking what people looked like, and all he does is talk about himself. He doesn't really ask her about herself ever.
Exactly.
Like, he knows how to like turn the charisma on when he needs to with her family. And he's just like a total charmer in the worst way, like kind of like a snake oil salesman. And then also the amount of times he name drops the fact that he's a DJ. Like, at one point he was like, oh, my first impression of Natalie that was that I thought she had come to one of my DJ shows once. One time I was at a DJ show, Diplo was there. And then we get it. Most of the time you're putting thermometers up animals' asses in a veterinary office. And every once in a while you go to a concert and pretend it's a job. I just can't.
I agree. And I think that Deep D's father knowing at what minute him and his wife got married is, I almost got mad watching it because I was like, I'm never going to find a guy who is that committed.
I know. They all forget.
They all forget what time they get married.
They can't even remember anniversaries.
I wanted to talk about the episode 6 cliffhanger.
Okay.
Which is that they all go to a picnic. Again, ripe for drama. I just loved the energy. All these people who showed up who didn't even get engaged on the show. So they're, you know, the engaged couples are meeting the unengaged couples, God bless them, and saying stuff like, oh, I recognize your voice, etc.
That was shocking. I was like, who are these people again? Like, I was like, is this totally like their friends from home? But also, some people did get engaged on the show and weren't shown on the show. There was like two couples that did get engaged, but the show chose not to follow their journey.
And they're too stable.
Yeah, I looked them up and it was like there wasn't really any drama. And I was like, maybe this is why you weren't featured. So goodbye. But yeah, it was really weird. I was like, are we supposed to know who these people are? Like, they were totally, I thought they were killed by the Squid Game inside the pods.
But it was really funny because Shayna shows up after kind of being in fake tears with Kyle. Like, I know, I'm sorry, you're right, I should have said something, I'm sorry. She goes to the picnic. Nothing has happened. She's dressed like the girls in LA that drive me crazy, meaning that she looks like she's dressed for Park City.
The hat.
Has a big hat on and a
shawl.
That
big hat, talk about red flags. If you own one of those hats.
I almost bought one, but I didn't because every girl in LA has one. And I'm
no,
thankfully.
Carolina,
I know.
If you bought that hat, like I would have to think twice about our friendship.
I know, okay?
Despite
that's why I didn't buy
everything,
one.
Despite everything we've been through, like that hat is the number one red flag that I can think of right now, besides everything else that Shayna does.
A big black Proctor hat from The Crucible. That's what these girls look like in LA. Like
but
big
they,
pilgrim
but
hats.
But it's brown. Yeah, it's like giant pilgrim hats. And then she
with
has
a
like
belt
a long
buckle on it.
Like a fucking duster with like a crop top. Like, oh my God, I can't.
So she goes to the picnic. Natalie reveals that Shayna has called her and said, hey, if it doesn't work out with Shane, I have a friend for you. Like she's kind of, she's doing research. She's digging. And so Shayna and Shane finally meet up in person at the picnic and they go for a walk. Now, I was very curious because I had started having not feelings for Shane, but I'd started being on his side, which I was obviously, given that he is the donkey from Shrek, I felt like, is this crazy? Like,
and it rendered us vulnerable because we had been so certain that we were against this person. I mean, he did say, if you think I'm a dick for lying to you about seeing another girl, like, I think you're weird. And so, like, we were so set in being against him. And it just shook our foundations to have that change and to realize he has the same financial plans as us and he has the same eating styles as us. And it just was hard. So we're rendered vulnerable and we're watching this and we're just hoping for the best but expecting the worst. As Shayna said, and sometimes when you know, or
you don't know the answer, but you know the answer.
Yeah. So that was how we were feeling.
We were surprised. He sat down with her and he basically confronts her about, like, I heard you called Natalie. And you can tell her dishonesty is suddenly brought to the surface in a way that she can't handle because she just kind of fritzes. Like she has static energy.
She malfunctions.
Yeah. And she's like, well, okay, wait. So honestly, like, okay, so who told you that? Who is your source of information? Natalie? Okay. So you believe, okay. So yes, I did call her. Now, like, I honestly understand that, like, maybe I shouldn't have said that to her. And then she like explodes and she's like, you think you have a connection with her? Because that is comical. She basically becomes a 90s teen villain.
I know.
She's like, okay, so you think that you guys are together? Okay, that is comical. Like she is so, yeah, she's all up in your face. Previously at the picnic, Nick was doing the best pot stirring that we need on the show,
yep,
where he was going up to Shayna being like, oh my God, I was talking to Natalie and Shane and Natalie wouldn't leave us alone. And Danielle is sort of looking on and I was like, oh my God, to have this kind of shitster as a boyfriend would be so weird.
It would be fun though.
It would be fun, but like there's something anti-sexual about it for me.
Okay, I know what you mean. No, I know what you mean. And also like, yeah, she also Shayna in their argument again, like Shane, I don't know if it's like Shane actually is like reasonable and cool and likable or if he's just constantly put in scenes with people who make him look better than he is. Like he looks so calm and stable in this moment because he's just kind of like watching her unravel. Like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't know. I'm in a relationship. Like, please leave me alone. And you're like, oh, my God, is this man like,
are you being mature right now?
Is he my soulmate? No. But she also at one point goes like, Yo, if that was my girlfriend, I would be like, what's up with this bitch? Like, what's going on with this bitch? Like, if that was my fiance, I'd be like, yo. Shayna's our worst nightmare, but she did lose. And girls like her don't often lose. And it was exciting to see that happen.
Yeah, it was exhilarating to see that happen. I do like reading, unfortunately, that there's a backlash to her on social media. I need that sometimes. You know, like Devin said, I need to see the villain lose. We have so much injustice in the world. And sometimes...
Yep.
We just need to see that. I truly cannot wait to see what happens next. I am so invested in this show. I watched it pretty early this morning and late last night. And I my sister who does not watch reality TV is super caught up. And it just starts feeling like a nice interrogation into what does make a relationship work.
It's fascinating to watch people be forced through the entire arc of a normal relationship within a matter of like 25 days.
And act like it's like it's normal, like that they have to go through with it.
Act like it's normal and be like, but he's my best friend. And it's like, again, have these people never met another human before? Like, were they bred for this experiment? Did they just come to consciousness? Were they in like some sort of like amoebial womb-like substance and they were just awoken into consciousness and put into this experiment and these are their first friends on Earth? Maybe.
Yeah, is this the Matrix? Yeah. I think it's funny when Nick with very
what's
serious...
What's with you thinking his name is Cole?
I don't know. I think it's funny when Nick with all seriousness is saying stuff like, well, this has happened and we are getting married in 2 weeks. I'm not fucking around. And you're like, okay, no one put you in this situation except
also
yourself.
Like is being on a reality show ever anything but fucking around? Like, it definitely seems like the least productive thing you can do. Like, it's taking a break from actual real life to do something that actively makes no sense.
Yeah,
for my enjoyment, and I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful to him.
We're
like
very happy. We're honored to be here.
We're honored to be watching. But like Cole, aka Nick, how is this not fucking around what you've chosen to be doing? I will say, I hope that in the way we got to watch Shayna lose, we will somehow get to see Danielle's mom lose. That's what I hope for.
I hope that I somehow get to be a part of Danielle's therapy process.
Danielle, reach out to us, please. We've
been Danielle,
there.
You're welcome on the pod anytime.
It's Third not co-host. Your fault. It's not your fault. You're stunningly gorgeous. The fact that you think it's normal for someone to yell at you for being sick on a vacation makes me want to give you a hug. But until we can do that, we'll catch you next time. We're going to cover episodes 7 and 8 and
a thrill.
It's beyond our wildest dreams to be able to talk about this on a platform that people might actually listen to. So stay tuned. We love you all.
Talk soon. Love you, Devin.
Love you, Carol.
Was a little love. I want true romance. It's true. True romance. It's so romantic. Love me, baby. Don't leave me hanging. I want true.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.